hors série Bang Bang. Et oui, encore une fois, une belle surprise, une interview hors émission avec un invité que vous nous avez demandé. Bah oui, à 98% quand même.
On a fait voter les gens. Les gens ont dit oui, on veut.
Ah ouais, et puis alors, énormément gros raz-de-marée pour ce groupe Avatar qui sort ce nouvel album qui s'appelle Don't Go in the Forest et qui vont remplir un zénith, qui vont vous rendre hystérique parce que la France est amoureuse d'Avatar. Et Avatar, je pense, est amoureux de la France. Pour en parler, nous avons bien sûr le principal intéressé, Johannes. Hello, how are you?
I'm really great. I love when you're on a show like this where the intro is in a language you don't really understand. Do you remember Lost in Translation with Bill Murray? Yeah. And he's on the Japanese game show and just is dragged in like, hey! So that immediately made me extremely happy about being here, the French intro. And also, I'm sorry, I think it's out of frame, but I really love the way the posters are there in the behind you. It looks like Fred Durst is in the foreground of that picture, meaning that he's the lead singer of Nirvana. And that also makes me very happy. So I'm doing great, thank you. How are you?
Good, good.
You didn't know about this?
No, my bootleg collection is incomplete, I guess.
So we usually ask to our international guests what Paris and France means to them, to you.
It means a lot, I think, for the band. Our whole taking over of Europe really started here for us. Mm. So this is the place where we was the first country where you can really in Europe, where for us we could extend a tour outside of, you know, because you come here, you do Paris, Lyon, Paris, Lyon, Paris, Lyon, Strasbourg, Paris, Lyon, Paris, 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 Lyon, Strasbourg festival and start over. But here, you know, we've been on all this, we did an 11-date sold out tour all over France last year in a way that was unique to us, you know. So that says something about the relationship to the audience. For me personally, especially, I'm a Paris head. I can never pronounce the film's name in French, but you know that Amélie movie from back in the day? Now, yesterday I arrived here from Amsterdam on train, and just getting off at the train station that you see a lot in the movie, because she goes out to see her dad and everything. Mm-hmm. I felt like a manic pixie dream girl, skipping and jumping, and then, you know, Olivier, my press guy, saw me like, hey man. I've been here a lot in my own free time, and of course also went to Disneyland and I saw Donald Duck and I cried, so France is giving me a lot.
Parfait. Avatar is really important today. It's an essential group band today. You're releasing your 10th album, Don't Go in the Forest. But before going into detail, I'd like to ask you some questions about yourself. Mm-hmm. Have you always been immersed in music since your childhood?
Yeah, I would say so. None of my parents play music. Mom played the recorder when she was a kid or whatnot, but it was they very much enjoyed music. And when I was probably 4 or something, they bought the electric piano, and me and my older siblings, we started to get lessons when we were little. But even before the lessons, it stood there, and I remember going up to it and kind of with 2 fingers to play with it. And already I played a C and an E together. And in hindsight, that was a major third. And if I move the hands like this to the B and the F, you know, and that was something I was drawn to. And I didn't know what it was, but it was something about going back and forth. And now I know it's the tonic and the dominant, you know. So being drawn to it and playing with it already as a kid, and because I was in they played a lot of classical music. I also, around the same age, would pretend that I was a conductor. I stood in a chair and weighed with a spoon, listening to Beethoven, and then whatever music they were into, I got into very much. So the Beatles and the Kings, like Dad's stuff, I was a huge fan of all and drawn to way before metal, because metal, I guess I was around 12 or something when that happened. But I was already well on my way with music in general, with the piano and the trombone, and then at some point, finally, the guitar. And so it happened very organically.
And what happened in your body? What do you feel when you do this music when you were so young? You feel something special? You feel like you were special?
It was just fun, or it was making you feeling something
when being more. That young, I don't know, like, what do you feel when you're that young? It's playing, you know? But I guess that's the thing, that it was a way to play as a kid, meaning that if your turtles, Ninja Turtles, or the piano was kind of the same. So it's, you know, it triggered imaginations. And I still play the piano, but I don't sound like one of those. When you say he started when he was five, you have the that's not me. I'm not that good at all. But that being said, early on, I took to it quickly, that it came without much struggle, you know? So I guess I just felt connected with it. It felt always became a natural part and a no-brainer, you know, that of course I want to do this. But it was also, as because it was so immediately accessible, it wasn't like dreaming of music. It was always there for me to grab onto. So yeah, natural, I guess is the
word. That's a chance. Mm.
You say you still play piano as you were when you were a kid. Mm. Are you still playing with your Ninja Turtle too?
I'm sad to say no.
Maybe some of your fans can bring you some new ones. So.
Oh, now you said that. Now I'm going to have... that has happened before. No, I don't play with Ninja Turtles, but I certainly... I don't know. We played Dungeons & Dragons on the road. That was actually... you don't have time when you headline, and you know, when we were up with Iron Maiden, now also you do all these other things, but sometimes when you open for bands, you know, you're done early, the crew is done early, and I just remember other crew members coming into our dressing room where the lead singer, me, is being a dungeon master and bought donuts for everyone, and you have this question like, you can do this? Is this allowed? You know? Cool. So that form, there's definitely, I don't know, the whole metal thing in a way, right? Your part of you will always be that boy who thought it was so cool, you know?
And do you remember the first song, the first metal song you heard?
There are a couple of ones that, you know, that is significant. It's a bit spread out. I remember first time hearing Black Sabbath by Black Sabbath, because it was a childhood friend of mine's. His parents were more into, you know, hard rock, the 70s. Mm-hmm. You know, when they grew up, they were a bit younger than my parents. So I got Beatles at home, and from there we got, I know, ZZ Top and stuff. And that friend, they gave him the Osman Cometh, so that compilation album from the 90s. And the first track was the demo version of Black Sabbath.
Oh.
So extra strange and raw and almost off-putting when I was little, but it awakened something, you know? It's creepy. So I remember that distinctly. But then my older brother got into metal a bit, you know, typical older brother that you get the music from. And I remember hearing Valhalla by Blind Guardian being played from his room. And I guess that one might have been the first thing. And then we would have a little, like a LAN party, computers at our place, with the neighboring kids bringing their computers over. And it was perfect. They were playing Warcraft 2.
Yeah.
But turning off that sound and instead playing Blind Guardian, it was Imaginations from the Other Side. That, of course, also that kind of fantasy vibe. And again, I'm around 12, so fantasy stuff is extra awesome. And the orcs and elves killing each other. And that, you know, that whole fantasy world side of that style of music. And finally, the big thing, because then I finally wanted to borrow a CD and really listen to it by myself. And he like, you start with this, and it was Keeper of the Seven Keys Part 2.
Mm-hmm.
And hearing that one was like, okay, that's it. I'm not cutting my hair anymore. So like that, Eagle Fly Free, I feel like it's where it's really fall. It wasn't the first, but it was that.
At this moment.
That sealed my fate. Like, that is, I'm sorry, Mom. You know, like, this is happening. That kind of the trip I'm still on.
Why did this song make album make a change? Made a change? Is that because you felt something that you never felt before, or yeah. it's like going further? Like you didn't knew it could go this way, and you're like, okay.
No, I think the feeling was, and I still with, especially with you know speed metal,
yeah.
whether it's on the more you know thrashy or brutal side of things, or you know the more melodic power metal stuff. There's a part of it where I where you feel like you're flying.
Mm.
And I think, because I was 12, was fairly young, so that the imagination it triggered. So this is also at an age where, you know, I discovered Tolkien and all those
the
kind
fantasy.
Of things. Yeah, exactly. So in being the perfect age for being swept away to another world, that and that the music did that. And then of course, shortly after discovering black metal, death metal, the more extreme, and all of those, you know, pulled you into these different worlds. And that is still a big part of my songwriting today, or to understand if I like the riffs we're working on. It's still kind of what the music did to me with power metal, but also hearing Black Sabbath first of all, because it's all about Black Sabbath. It's all about you come up with a riff. But the riff is never better than the groove, meaning you have to understand what the drums should do. Iron Man, best riff ever. You know, this fair is one of those that you can say that. But if it would have been bow, 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 that's not the best riff ever. Mm. Bow, bow, that's the best riff ever. And what happens when you find the right groove to a riff, to me, is then the movies start in the head because you get some atmosphere and you take you somewhere. And it can be all kinds of, depends on the music, can be whatever. But when I start to visualize things the way I did as a kid, hearing about, you know, heroes killing the dragon or whatever, the trip started there.
Wow, cool. And from the beginning, Avatar changed, like, music's changed sometimes. Mm-hmm. You used to try things and
explore
and
yeah.
and more in the music than in the lyrics. No, since the beginning, the lyrics are since you were there.
Yeah, I mean, I think it all because we still change all the time. Mm. I think because that's
it's a really rich
yeah.
music.
Yeah, thank you. And I think because, for instance, one guy that I am a lifelong fan of is Devin Townsend.
Yeah. yeah.
And one of the things that makes that you can be a lifelong fan is, I feel, because whatever he puts out right now always is this very honest reflection of where he is right now.
Yeah.
That he never did the thing.
It's really true.
Yeah. So. Never did the Matt the Crew thing about, okay, we sang about strippers and booze when we were 20.
Mm-hmm.
So now we have to sing about strippers and booze when we're 200. And it just doesn't... And it feels sad,
yeah.
you know. But in the case of an artist like Devin Townsend, it's like there's always a chance that his best album ever is in front of him, because it's always something else connected to who he is. And we think the same way, that the most honest thing we could do at any given time is to do exactly what we feel is the most important thing, and that goes for both music and lyrics, and then the whole expression of the thing. So we've done ultra serious albums, we've done comedy albums, we've done whatever felt the most important at the time.
Cool. And I just want to try to name the kind of music you do.
yeah, good luck.
I think it's quite hard.
Yeah, I was just like, oh shit, I can't say the name. Death metal, metalcore, emo. With the new album, we can
sure,
feel
why
emo
not?
Things, and I mean, I don't know, what can you say about it?
It's always,
it's you, just
it's
you.
Always, yeah, no, I mean, from the inside, it's even harder, because I say heavy metal,
yeah.
but the big umbrella term for heavy metal, because again, we toured with Helloween, and we kind of fit in, we toured with Obituary, we kind of fit in.
That's yeah.
kind
of, yeah.
yeah. So, you know, because when we started the band, what we all was the most we were into together more than anything would be technical death metal and melodic death metal
yeah.
stuff
yeah, yeah,
you
yeah.
know, and more than any other thing probably we shared the Haunted. So that is when we learned to play, when we played covers before we started to write songs, we played In Flames and Cannibal Corpse, and we played But we also played Push by Helloween, but then we played the Haunted Hate song by the Haunted. Yeah, like the list of the songs we chose to learn together in the beginning, that kind of becomes part of your DNA, where your fingers go once you start writing. So early on, that's kind of at the gates haunted riffing, that so much of it is that one guitar is kind of rhythm and lead at the same time, you know, that you have the melody and then the rhythms in there, and it's very busy style of playing. That was a huge influence. Over the years, then we started to reintegrate our love for classic heavy metal, the Judas Priest, the Deep Purple, the, you know, all those things as well. And then anything and everything we got into. Because again, I played a piano as a little kid. I played the trombone. I was in a big band. So you can, you know, we won't do, we're not a jazz band, but I like watching those YouTube essays about some music theoretical phenomena in jazz music and go, I'll take some of that thing and put it into what we do, right? So it comes a bit from all over the place, and we don't worry about what is the avatar sound.
Yeah.
You know, because we also think like this, being huge Beatles fans, please me, sounds like the Beatles. Come Together, sounds like the Beatles. A lot of stuff happened in between. And I think the secret is, because I do think that we sound like ourselves all the time. And the whole thing is, the job description with Avatar is, we want to write and perform our own material. That's, you know, that's the beginning of it. So it's, we came up with it and we play it. And then we want to take that as far as we can, once we have done that, in a way where we remain friends. But because it's us always, you know, we are stuck with ourselves. So we might be talented enough to do a lot of different things, but I don't think we're talented enough to sound like anybody else. You sound like yourself.
That's good.
So I think like that, then we don't really worry about where it comes from. You know, it's a filter of that we actually play with our actual bodies, you know, comes through our fingers, come through my, I mean, the shape of my jaw means that I sound in a certain way, the size of my nose and the cavities in here. So I can only sound like me, no matter if I try new cool techniques or new approaches.
I was wondering, coming from such a, like, the technical death metal scene, which is really sometimes a bit strict or narrow, and opening to new style, new stuff. Yeah. You've been through a lot of things and a lot of it, more fantasy, more theatrical. Did you always felt free to go wherever you wanted, or you were kind of scared, or how did you open to all these things? Like, not thinking about it, or just... Or?
I think in part we were always... Because, you know, it's normal. Like, if you are a bit of an odd, different kid, it's kind of... That's the reason you're drawn to metal to begin with.
Yep.
And so a bit of that was natural to just... And still with enough good sense of self and confidence where we felt good about... pretty good about being ourselves. But it was certainly, the big change probably happened on a third album, where a lot of the classic heavy metal and me start to try to work on more melodic singing happened. And it wasn't as much what that world would think, but it did get, that album was tainted by us hoping that someone would like it. And that was a weird way of working that we didn't know better at the time. But it's like, so we were like, oh, how should we do this part? Well, what would people like? And that's a stupid ass question to ask, which we learned by the time of the fourth album, Black Waltz. We were in a place emotionally, you know, mentally, where we thought maybe the band is over. As a matter of fact, when writing new music, we had a particularly bad day. I was sitting writing something, coming up with something, and then at the end John comes and play the song, and it's crap. It's really bad, and let's go and get drunk. So you know, so we went out for beers, and we felt so old. I remember I was 24. And but being 24, the quarter life crisis, it has a word, because I think when you're 24, that's the age when some of your friends or people you know have, if they went early to the university, then they're done. And you see people then who they get a real job and their car works and they wear a tie and they seem well put together and going somewhere. Because our path requires sacrifice. And that was the first time I think you saw what you actually sacrificed. And it was like, so we kind of started talking about what would you do if we didn't do the band? Oh, I was thinking maybe I would do this. And we kind of split up for 5, 10, 15 minutes. Because then we're sitting then we're sitting there quietly. And there was a song that ended up being ultimately a bonus track on Black Walls, Dying to See You Dead, but we had that riff. And I don't remember if it was me or John who said it first, because both were thinking it. One said that, well, it would be a damn shame if we didn't finish that song. And he said, I was thinking the same! Reunion! So we had, after being apart for so long, 15 minutes, we had a reunion party. And
more beers.
Yeah, exactly. But also then, okay, but then fuck it. This is our last album. You know, if it doesn't go anywhere, so be it. But then what do we want to do? Mm-hmm. If this is our last album, what do we really want to do? And that changed everything. Finally, that maturity, like it's one of the... Because I think it's normal that, you know, you fall in love with the music, you learn to play a bit of guitar, and you and your friends start a band. But not everyone was really into it, but maybe two of you were. So the band splits up, and then there was another band, same situation, one town over, one street over, and you formed the band, and then that's the band. And Avatar did that, but with the same guys. So we went through all these changes, because also our first album came out, we were 18 and 19 years old.
Yeah.
So we started so young. So it became the rebirth of Avatar, that then every album ever since is our last album, where at some point it's get mixed, it gets mastered, and then I sit by myself and listen through it after everything is said and done and kind of go, if this were to be the last album, am I okay with it? What if everybody hates it? Do I care? No, not really. Okay, good. We did the thing. We have to live with this. Everyone else can say, that kind of sucked, and move on to the next thing. We can't. So that approach has been there ever since. And that combined with that Devin Townsend-like philosophy of honest, be where you are at, that then feeds into this constant change and do whatever the hell we want. And then we trust that we sound like ourselves because we are ourselves. And that comes with a level, I think, of honesty and a chance to be, to innovate, a chance to do something special, that then it shows, I think, in our audience, that also they have learned to be excited together with us, that, hey, we're on this trip together, let's see where it takes us every time. And I think if you like Avatar, you like that about us.
Mm-hmm. It's a healthy way of thinking. Yeah.
I don't think many bands thinking like this, no?
I think there are a bunch. I do believe there are a bunch. And you can tell when things happen. Like an example from this country, I feel a band that moves forward with what they do is Gojira, for instance. Yeah, yeah. And I think, I mean, and some people might prefer the more progressive, pure death metal things. And that's fine. We all like different sodas, you know, like, and therefore you like what you like, but I also have, they have grown tremendously thanks to that, they have evolved, and I love these later albums of Gojira specifically because I'm such a groove nut, and I think to think grooviness in a type of metal that has touches of progressive, touches of the extreme, but not lose yourself in the part of it, but to really open up to that, you nod your head and you lift heavy shits thanks to that, it's that momentum, you know, and that they evolve and all that, and that has rewarded them tremendously, obviously. So there are bands like that out there.
I think also having the finding audience that follows you album after album, you feel more and more free to propose new things. And like,
because now we, you know, even if each album is different, the part of it, the fact of things being different, they have learned that. Because we did Avatar Country, like, Jonas is a king, and we did a comedy album, basically. And but then we did, okay, we did one comedy. We hate comedy now. We want to do Hunter Gatherer. I'm pissed, you know. So and they were in for it. And then of course some people is like, some people might miss the lighthearted, the playfulness of that. And some people said, oh, finally they're back to just yelling at me, you know. And and that's that part is fine, of course. But there's always that, you know, trip. Then and it's exciting for us to see what's next. It's and that makes us want to continue also.
It's less boring.
Yeah, at least the way we operate. I want to, you know, I want to learn something every album. On a personal level, in the writing, of course, what you write about, what you think about, to have songwriting as an art form to express yourself and work through things. So learn something on that personal level is great, but also just as a musician. To learn some new tricks, to try to record things we haven't recorded in that way before. The learning through your art. And I think that's one of the most valuable things. Also, if you just do it as a hobby, right? Going through a process of creating something, even if it's just for yourself, there's discovery in that I think is valuable, whether you get to make a living being in a band or not. That's secondary.
And how do you write lyrics? How do you choose the themes? Do you close your eyes? Do you dream? Do you imagine things? Story? Theatrical
things? It depends a bit on from song to song. This album, Don't Go in the Forest, one big experiment that kind of shaped at least half of the album was that I started to say, trust what's beautiful, in a sense of, because it always has started with, again, groove plus riff creates atmosphere, movie in your head kind of. That it's like, oh, this sounds like, this makes me feel, and it connects with something that was going on, you know, in life or whatever. But what would happen in the past is, if you think of that, all ideas start in a little bit of an abstract place. So I imagine that I would dive into a lake, swim to the bottom, and you find something in the mud. And you swim up to shore and you look, what is this? What does this mean? What can I make with this? And you try to make something concrete out of it. And that means that maybe, you know, you go for a walk, you see something, and you write down two lines of lyrics, a thing that rhymes, and like, okay, what is this? What can I make? And then you try to lay the puzzle of the rest of the song. This time, I didn't ask myself what it is. I just kept going, like, this seems right. So letting the subconscious find its way through the lyrics more. And then afterwards, you know, when it's done, you kind of look at like, oh yeah, okay. Like, so not trying to control it as much. Then a couple of the songs still came with more specific ideas. Like, Tonight We Must Be Warriors. I wanted to give the left a Manowar song, basically. In the sense of going back to all those power metal years when I was younger and everything, a lot of medieval stuff, a lot of fancy stuff, so a lot of mighty kings and those things. But me here and now, I kind of write, if it's not Jonas who is the king, because if Jonas is the king, like an Avatar Country, then it's me singing a lot of songs about me loving one of my best friends. Then I can sing about a king. And also it's comedy, so I can play with it. But if I want to get real, and something that moves me and hopefully moves others, I don't believe in authoritarian forms of government. I don't want a king, you know. I left Sweden, I'm moving to Finland. I like the idea of republics, you know. So no kings. And also the term warrior, it feels great to say warrior and when in a metal song. But if I sing about war, which I certainly can, And you cannot even sing about heroism in war, but I can't glorify the war or the war itself, because what I first think about next to courage is tragedy and sacrifice and loss of human life and PTSD. And so it's hard to say, yeah, warriors. So, but with tonight, we must be warriors. The thing I like, we are forced to be out of necessity in order to do the right thing. And it's we, meaning we need to come together. And it's like, once you think you're alone and you see the problems and you go through the way you go through life, but then you discover there's more of you and there's more, and you come together and you start to become a problem. That part of the lyric, and that then means basically you can come together at a workplace and start a union and go out on strike, you know, and whatever. So I get to use that heavy metal language to tell people to unionize. But with a metal marching panache to it. So that one had a real plan, you know. And what's the another one would be on this one, Death and Glitz. That also, it bothered me for the longest time, the way, you know, true crime podcasts and documentaries, and it's always a young beautiful girl who's murdered. And people, we fucking love it. Love the dead girl, you know, like it's everyone sits and watch that hot chick that is kidnapped, and it's something perverse with it. There's something, I don't know, when men watch it, I'm thinking it's either, you know, that you hate women or you insert, you get to fantasize about her freely. Because she's dead, so she can be both a whore and the Madonna. She can be everything if she was alive. And like, it's weird projection. And if a woman watches it, maybe there's self-insertion in it. How because everybody loves her and misses her, you know. And these weird, weird things that happens, that basically, we love it when death has a nice set of tits. And it's fucked up.
That's it's a really problem. Fucked
up. But it's also completely normal, because then everybody sits there and watch the murder porn, you know. And it's so normal, and in every home, and in the nights, you know, you sit up and it's like decapitated and a bird in a well and a popcorn. And after, let's cuddle, you know, let's cuddle and watch this woman be dismembered. That is, that I find is more sicker than any horror movie. Because horror movies are full of empathy, or any good horror movie, because we only get really scared if we care. The secret to a good horror movie is that we, oh no, he's in danger, but if we don't give a fuck, then it's like, ha ha, his head flew off, you know. But good horror, we care. That's when we get scared. So, but this is something else. We don't watch true crime to be scared. It's a interesting mystery, and you know, always like, and she went hiking with her boyfriend and only he came back, and like, yeah, and she's hot, you know. So that's Death and Glitz, for instance. So some concrete ideas, some subconscious, some on this album for the first time really utilizing stuff I had dreamed, you know, going to that place.
And about the theatrical way of making music on stage with the makeup and everything, is that easier for you to explain things, to express maybe strong themes?
Yeah.
You know, try to keep distance. And
no, but yeah, the thing is, the reason I think why it works for us is because at the end of the day, and I know it doesn't look like it when we sit and talk like this, but I'm playing myself. I don't play a character. I feel it's more... Okay.
It's more you.
Yeah, but also an opportunity to express sides of me, of course, and let loose, and then of course emphasize, and it's yourself, but dialed up and exaggerated, and channeling this music that is one aspect of who you are. But to me, I always thought that, you know, if you have your job and your free time and your family, which might mean, okay, it's Friday morning, you're at the office. And you like your job and things, so you're okay with that, but you behave in a certain way. You have your professional side, and that's you. Your professional you is you. You know, you wear a tie, you iron your shirt, you do your job. Maybe it's on computers. You like programming, you know, and that's you. But then on Saturday, maybe you like to go on clubbing. So you drink shots out of someone's belly button and you rave all night, you know, out in the woods somewhere, you know.
No, don't go in the woods.
No, but that's the point. You totally should go to the forest. You know, you should totally go in the forest. That's kind of, so when someone says, don't go in the forest, you're thinking, I'm totally going in the forest. But this, but that is also you. Yeah, and you didn't lie at work. You like your programming. You know, it suited you. You took the classes because you're into the computer shit. But then you're also into the rave, and you wake up without your clothes in the mud, and you had a great time. And then on Sunday, you go to grandma with and have dinner.
But it's Sunday the dinner, same you.
It's still you. Yeah. So it's just forum opportunity, and also embracing all the sides, of you, I guess. And I have a very unique opportunity to, number one, because I'm there writing music, to get a lot of shit out of me.
Yeah.
But then also the live performance, where I get to connect with people and express and get them getting to use our music to express themselves, and we make this connection together, which is of course a very heightened version of that, but still me. I'm not a good actor, but I'm a good performer, and so I perform, but I don't act.
what does mean forest for this album? It means that you choose to understand yourself, or things the violent place of you, or things like this?
Yeah, that's part of it. I think you can say that about heavy metal in general, because heavy metal is really weird when you think about it. No, but because heavy metal is powerful, exciting, uplifting, you know, going to a metal show, fist in the air, you know, you're in the stadium, it's Metallica playing, you have a beer, you go, woo! But then they play One, which is about a man with no arms and no legs stuck in a bed and he wants to die. Woo! And that's metal. And that's certainly what we do too. And that's, you know, the beauty, again, why a certain type of kid is attracted to the dark stuff, you know, because you explore that, but you're also uplifted by the music, and that's that weird connection. Like, so again, with this album, so much about the subconscious, but in different ways throughout the album, throughout the years, I mean, you know, you find those forbidden doors in your mind and in your thinking and feeling, and you open and you look what's inside, and you use your art, your music to kind of explore and express that. And so that's the idea of don't go in the forest. No, maybe you should go in the forest. Maybe you go through something in your adult life where you don't feel fulfilled and you've hurt and you deal with something. And maybe you go through therapy and you'd start to realize that something happened to you as a kid that you don't want to really deal with. But then when you start dealing with it, you have a chance to conquer your fears, to heal, to develop the tools, to move on and grow as a person and be in a better place in life because you went in the forest, you know. And then there's also the societal taboos idea that don't go in the forest can also mean don't eat the forbidden fruit. But in that story, I'm team snake because I feel all these men in Eve's life that told her what to do all the time. And then this sweet snake came and like, you know, there's something up here, have this, you know, and that was knowledge. So totally go in the forest. And then there is something about the theatrical side, the aesthetic side of Avatar, and again, metal in general, the idea. I see a little movie in my head and I see it directed by David Lynch, basically. So it's kind of like in Twin Peaks, outside of the forest, outside of the town in the woods, is the entrance to the Black Lodge and all that. So our version of that, the idea of that you are lost in a forest, it's dark and cold, you're wet and tired and scared and you're in the night, and you see off in the distance, you see light between the trees, and when you get closer, you hear the music. And there, in the middle of nowhere, there's a little circus tent that shouldn't be there, but it is. And music comes from within, and you walk inside, and that's that Avatar world, you know. So, for all these reasons, don't go in the forest is named the way it is.
I want to see this movie.
Yeah. Pay us.
Sorry.
We can afford about 3 to 4 minutes at a time, so we make music videos.
Okay, so instead of the Ninja Turtle action figures, mm-hmm. just give them money so they can do the movie.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
It's better.
Yeah, because
crowdfunding.
People have given all kinds of nice gifts, usually art, you know, to us yeah. that they have drawn and stuff, and sometimes I don't know, someone in the band posted on Instagram about, I like this cigar. And then he got boxes of cigars the entire tour. And like, I posted something about pineapples and people came with pineapples. So if people want a great gift to give us would be to finance all the movies we want to make.
That would be great.
Instead of leaving a pineapple outside of the bus, leave a bag with cash. We'll take it.
So that's why I'm going to talk about solidarity. The album is about this too, because yeah. you talk about, like we used to say, where are people like us? We used to think that we are strange, that we are different. Maybe yep. we're not like the other ones.
Yep.
And you talk to them, you say, you're okay, that's okay, everything's okay, we're together. Certainly, and yeah. we don't care, don't give a shit about this.
No, that's exactly it. You know, because there's a certain age where most kids, where it's hard for many to be different, because mm-hmm. there's you know, part of, I mean, it's children's psychology really, because we grow up being very attached to parents, and then in different phases, right, we're supposed to distance ourselves and find our independence and be really annoying when we're 2 years old and 6 years old, and then puberty. And you're supposed to free yourself from your parents and this coffee, and you start to build your own little tribes and stuff, and it starts to get coded. You're supposed to fit in, everybody cuts the hair the same, and all that. And some of us sucked at that part initially, that we couldn't quite, yeah, but that's dumb. And then I think you're dumb, and you struggle a bit until you really find the other outsiders that didn't fit in either. And then you cannot fit in together. And then when you get a bit older, still in your teens, but a few years deeper, approaching adulthood, and you go, thank fuck I was different. Look what that brings you in life. If you just survive that initial shock of like, oh, this was hard, and you manage to stand your ground, and you will find your home eventually. And if you're an interesting person, you get an interesting life, I guess. And metal attracts a lot of that.
That's true. And with this album, I just want to say congratulations, because it's really nice.
Thank you.
Really rich. It's really amazing. We've got all the feelings we can have during the life. Maybe that's the story from the beginning to the end of the album, because you say warriors at the beginning, and at the end we can see the light. That's what you said. And thank you, because we're not used to listen to this kind of music, but this album is amazing, because we're just like, oh wow, we're into it, so...
I appreciate that a lot, thank
and,
you.
And what is crazy, it's really rich, there's a lot of things going on, but it's so easy to listen to.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's a performance, nice. Because you. It's not... So some people could be lost, yeah, with the
yeah, there's certainly a problem in... Because at times we... Again, the technical death metal, right? We like the... And those things, and we like when it goes fast, and we like when stuff happens. But I think there's always a risk in when you work in that world of metal, where you can, instead of it feeling like a song, it feels like it's a bunch of stuff happening. And I guess the secret is to find, you know, you can use fancy words like motif about like what actually binds it together. What is this journey about?
Yeah, to make it cohesive.
To kind of, okay, crazy stuff is happening, but I'm going to take you by the hand because I want to show you the crazy stuff happening, so that you kind of, whatever you feel that you spend some time on, maybe at least giving people the chance to feel something similar when they hear it.
And with this album, I feel something really special. I feel that that's the day you feel okay with yourself. We feel okay with your friends from the band. Mm-hmm. Everybody's just, I can feel you're happy. you're just like, okay, this is that right now. We can be free. We can totally be free. We can do whatever we want. And we are happy.
Yeah. You know, especially now we do it on our own label. So We didn't really let labels bother us in the past either, to be honest. But now more than ever, it's our thing that we're doing. And yeah, Avatar has been around for a long time because we started so young. And we, that means we grew up together. We did puberty together and we stayed friends. Then we were in our 20s together, and young men in their 20s are immortal. So the decadence and the madness of all that, and now whatever's happening now, we're also going through this together. So we have, the band has survived and grown with all these different phases of our lives. And I think that is, again, the thing that's most important to us is that we are doing this.
And congrats. Thank you. Also, thank you. Thank you so much. You're going to do the Zenith in Paris. Mm-hmm. This is a really huge place, venue. I think you're happy also for this.
Yeah, yeah, very much so. I mean, here's some wood. I hope we sell some tickets. We seem to be doing all right. We got time. No, we were there. We opened for Avenged Sevenfold in there in 2013, which was, again, the big turning point for us in this city and in this country, that it's kind of, yeah, it was a special night, and we've been on that kind of journey ever since. So it will be a bit of a full circle moment to go on, to go on that stage again, but this time we play as long as we want, you know? So,
but there's still a curfew, but
yeah, I didn't say as long as we want. We also want to be done at some point. You get tired, you know? So 2 hours, you know, is sufficient usually.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty long.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not Springsteen. We'll get there over the years. We work our way there. But it's an intense 2 hours.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to write some more mellow songs if you want to play longer in the future.
Exactly, you know, and more. So we toured with Iron Maiden, right? And and I realized, cuz in so many of their songs have 2 minute guitar solos. Genius. that he got, especially, you know, towards the second half of the set, especially because they did like Rime of the Ancient Mariner and all these epics, and how he could just, you know, fuck off for a while. So I realized, as a singer, I'm going to write more instrumental music going forward. And like, it's your problem. Because also, we have so, through the years, we've done the opposite so much, where we kind of cut things out because we like that intensity. We like to get to the point. And, you know, and that's fine when you do it on the computer with your demos, and then you go in the studio and, okay, you sing the verse, you take a break, you sing the chorus, and then you can kind of do it. And then you start rehearsing to play live, and it's like, I'm such an idiot. I'm such an idiot. So do you have those songs that become exhausting because I sing a lot, I just forget I also need to breathe. So in the future, we'll adjust. And then the concerts can be really long, but they can be miserable, and I can be back there having my little breaks. And then we can play 3 hours because I added 50 minutes of guitars.
Maybe you could have dancers that come on the stage and do like a 50-minute break. And
well,
but that's always a problem.
If you want to see Avatar have more dancers on stage, leave a bag of cash outside of the bus, because we would love that.
Wow.
Even, you take that's it, the project. Even big bags, right?
Like, yeah, really big bags. And preferably, you know, with some good receipt and stuff so we can tax it so it's over the table. Oh, yeah. You know, like, I don't want to get in trouble.
Or gold.
Yeah, gold is better.
Some good gold, so we also, yeah, exactly, gold. Smart.
Bon, en tout cas, I'm going to say something in French, but vous avez acheté vos billets, vous devez acheter vos billets pour aller en
concert.
Ne traînez
pas.
Ne traînez pas, parce que vous allez le regretter lorsque vous allez louper ce concert qui va être monumental. It's going to be amazing, of course, at the Zenith, because Avatar's always...
That's the plan.
Yeah, and you're going to see something really special, so just buy the tickets right now.
Don't wait.
Don't wait, and don't forget that it's important for the bands and for every music and artistic things. So
and my dogs need to eat, you know.
I love animals. So.
Yeah, exactly. If you don't buy a ticket, my dogs will eat. Do you hate dogs? No, I know. I've been around Paris, I've been around France. I know you love dogs. Buy a ticket.
You say that because there's more poo on the street?
Yeah, and start picking up your shit.
So thank you. Thank you for everything. Thank you for this interview. Thank you for your time, for being there in our studio. Thank you. It's really amazing, and congrats again for the album.
I appreciate it.
Just listen to it. Put it on your favorite thing, on your favorite streaming platform. Mm-hmm. And be present, be there at the gigs. So that's the most important thing. And buy merchandising, of course.
Yeah.
Really important. And don't forget the bag of gold.
Bag of gold, and think of the dogs.
Thank you. Congrats.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Toutes nos émissions et chroniques sont maintenant disponibles sur vos plateformes de podcasts préférées. Spotify, Deezer, Apple, Amazon. N'hésitez pas à vous abonner.